And it is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, live today at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Avalanche puck drop in 4 hours at 7 o'clock, pregame in 3 at 6 o'clock. Floyd, Titans winners, they are in first place. And I'll say this, as much as it would have been great to beat the Dolphins, to know that they're in first place and they're going to beat Cleveland to go to 4-3 before the bye has to feel at least a little decent. But it has to feel even better because the quarterback, with clearly a bum hamstring, was fantastic. Marcus Mariota, 23 of 32, 306, one touchdown, one pick, which John Gruden kind of pointed out to say it was pretty much DeMarco's fault, not Mariota's. Anywho, so he had that. And then, and the more important thing I get to is, Gruden said this, and this has, in my mind, huge ramifications for the franchise. Gruden said this on the broadcast at the very beginning of the game. John Gruden said this about Marcus Mariota, and I want to play the clip, and then I want to kind of get into it a little bit. Here's what he said.
You talked about the toughness of Steve McNair to Marcus Mariota when he was talking about the desire to play tonight.
Steve McNair, I think the greatest quarterback in Titan history. He played his best football under dire circumstances, and that's something I think Marcus Mariota is going to draw from tonight.
And Marcus did play well with clearly a bum hamstring. And Mike Mularkey after the game, we wondered if Marcus wasn't tough enough last week. This is what Mike said about Marcus yesterday after the game.
He's as tough as I've been around. And made some throws that were, obviously that one to Taewon was a big throw. He was a real big throw. He played well from, again, just watching it from the sideline. I thought he played well.
Two questions for you, Floyd. One, did Marcus have a Steve McNair-like effort yesterday? And two, what does that mean for the franchise that the franchise quarterback on Monday Night Football can play that way when he is hurt?
I think he had a McNair-like night from the standpoint that he played injured. And from the standpoint, and Steve was a great example of what we've talked about, which is, the secret's not just showing up hurt. I know I'm hurt, but I'm going to play. And then you go out there and play awful. That helps nothing. You have to go out and play as well as you normally do, injured. And Steve could do that. And Marcus did that last night. So I think that was a giant plus.
Did you think Marcus had this in him to be able to do this? I mean, no offense, but I felt like the Titans kept Marcus out that first rookie year when they weren't good and he sprained his MCL a couple times, and one of them was at the end of the season. So I always felt like Marcus probably could have played but didn't because the team wanted to keep him out because the team was so lousy. And then last year he broke his leg, and you just can't play with a broken leg.
Right.
So, a lot of people, us included, were wondering about Marcus's toughness, and then you hear Mike say, he's as tough as anyone I've ever been around, and I'm starting to feel like now, after watching that performance, of thinking, Marcus might be the type of player who could be like a Steve McNair in that regard and play through pain and elevate the play of everybody around him.
I mean, just judging, the only real evidence we have was last night.
Mm-hmm.
And judging from last night, I think you would say, yes, he indeed is that kind of guy. And he can be one of those guys that, and you've heard me say this before, you can't, in spite of what you want as far as toughness on a team, if your quarterback isn't a tough guy, I'm talking about a real tough guy, then it's hard to get it. It's hard to be tough because you're always wondering, well, what's going to happen? If he gets hit one time, is he going to show up or is he going to lay around on the ground? We had a guy named Chris Chandler who was a quarterback before Steve McNair. And they used to call him Christine because every time he got hit, he felt like it was his duty to roll around on the ground a minute or two. And the first couple of times that happened, they'd all bend down and pick him up. After about 6 or 7 weeks when that happened, the players are stepping over him. They weren't even stepping around. It was kind of, here he is again. Okay, step over him. And you will go from that to a Steve McNair kind of guy. The difference in the team was just unbelievable. So, the evidence we have, you have to say, yeah, Marcus is going to be that kind of guy.
And we've talked about labels in the NFL and how labels affect you. And,
oh, it's big.
Marcus is fighting the injury-prone label, But for Marcus on Monday Night Football to go out and have the performance he had when he was clearly hurt, and you heard, you know, Sean McDonough say about to Gruden, you talk to Marcus about Steve McNair. You know Marcus is sitting there in the meeting, and Gruden's talking about Steve McNair would play, and he couldn't walk all day, and we still knew he was going to play on Sunday when he played us. And you think Marcus has not heard about Steve McNair stories? He is the quarterback of the Titans. Well, he has heard Steve McNair stories. And my thing is these fans hold him to that standard of Steve McNair, which is unfair. Because you would say Steve McNair would play when the average person wouldn't even get out of the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's not fair, but he played through it on the biggest stage. And now I think a lot of people had their eyes open to, wow, not only is this guy tough, but this guy can throw from the pocket.
And I think John, the thing we saw from John, which was interesting, was the old coach in him coming out, you know, which is if you've got a young quarterback like that, you want to talk about somebody like McNair, because that's what you want him to be. I mean, I think he's a better throwing quarterback than Steve was, but the toughness and the personality and the, all of those kinds of things. So I can hear John talking about Steve thinking, you know, are you listening, Marcus? This is what I, and poor old Marcus is thinking, God, all I've heard all week long is about McNair. You know, so he'll end up hating McNair, the, you know, legend of McNair.
How much does it affect the entire team, though, that Marcus played the way he played yesterday?
Oh, it's gigantic. I really believe that. I mean, when you saw the articles printed today, the things the players said, I mean, none of it was about football. You know, I mean, none of it was about, you know, well, he really threw well from the pocket, or, you know, it was all, man, what a leader, what a tough guy. You know, for him to show up and play that well when we knew he was injured, it really meant a lot to those guys. So
here's the question I got for the callers. Do you think the fans appreciate that out of Marcus as much as you and Gruden and the players do? Like, do you think the fans looked at the way Marcus played yesterday and have that just admiration of, oh, my God, this is huge, the way that you do, the way that the football people do?
I doubt it, and the reason I doubt it is, first of all, you don't know the pain involved with the pulled hammy, and you don't know the ability it takes to play in the NFL. And then when you try to put those two together, it does not compute. You know, wait a minute now. You're going to go out and do that with this hurting? No, that nobody would do that. Well, that's what you do in the NFL. So I don't know that they would. Now, there'll be some athletes out there, some guys that have, or gals that have pulled hamstrings that were athletic. And, you know, when they think about if they were a sprinter or basketball player or something, and you say, okay, you just pulled a hamstring, now you've got to go play a game next weekend. I mean, they go, wait a minute now, I can't do that. I got to take a couple weeks off. So it's hard, but again, I mean, that's all part of the business.
Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jim is up next on Jared and the GM. He's been waiting patiently. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. That little tidbit that you rolled from Malarkey coming out of a couple of breaks ago, the one where he said Marcus did exactly what we wanted to do, which was very little, just kind of very little mobility. Looked like maybe he was, you can guess, 75% or whatever he was. But what does that tell you about their confidence in Matt Castle? I mean, Matt Castle, after the Miami game, was dreadful. That means they have zero confidence in him winning a game at all. They're not publicly going to say that, but, you know, if Marcus is not in there, the Titans have basically sunk. I mean, do you agree with that?
So what would you do to remedy that right now, Jim? If you were the GM of the Titans, who would you go get to back up Marcus to not have that problem?
There's probably really not much that you can do. You just have to protect him the best that you possibly can and, you know, do what they did, but you just have to, I guess, hope for the best. I mean, you can't go out and try to shop, you know, look for a quarterback. Yeah, I mean.
Jim, how do you think the Green Bay Packers feel right now?
Well, you're right, but, you know.
The point I'm trying to make, and I appreciate your call, Jim, the point I'm trying to make is one that Floyd makes literally every time that we talk about Matt Castle, and that is that 99.9% of the teams in the NFL, if you have to play your backup quarterback, you're not going to be very good.
And not going to be very happy.
And so, if I mean, yeah, to say that the Titans don't have faith in Matt Castle, I think they don't have faith in Matt Cassel to play like Marcus. Like, they do not have faith. The Titans do not believe that Matt Cassel will go out and throw 23 of 32 for 306 and a touch.
No.
They don't think he can do that. I agree. But they also think that Matt Cassel will not get them beat when he goes out there and plays. If the Titans don't have two ridiculous calls go against them in the Miami game, Matt Cassel wins that game. And I think if Matt Cassel starts on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns, which he won't, but if he did, they would win that game too. But my whole point is, yeah, you're right. The Titans have no chance in games like that if Matt Cassel plays. Just like the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I was sitting with Luke Rogers last night during the game. I'm just going to tell you, he's not very high on the Packers' chances with Aaron Rodgers hurt. Yeah, I mean, he's – and I don't think anybody is very high on the Packers' chances with Aaron Rodgers hurt because there's no way to prepare for this. This is what Mike McCarthy has been worried about for the last 10 years. He's like, you know, if Aaron gets hurt, we're up a huge creek. Aaron just doesn't really get hurt. Now Aaron's hurt, and so they're in a lot of trouble. But what happened in Dallas last year with Dak Prescott is the exception, not the rule. And the Cowboys lucked into that, too.
And I mean, the backup quarterbacks, Cassel here we've had for, what, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
He's been here 2 years. The backup quarterback at Green Bay, they drafted and has been there for 3 years. The guy behind him has been there for 2 years. So they've got 5 years invested in those two guys. And they aren't happy, I promise you. I mean, the kid that came in as a backup threw three interceptions in half a game. So, I mean, are they thrilled? No, they're not. But they've been grooming those guys for 5 years to get in a position to come into a game and try to win for them. Well, if you have Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers goes down, I don't care what your backup's name is. I don't care. He's going to struggle.
I mean, right now, who are the best three teams in the AFC? New England, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City, right?
Okay.
Well, each team has a semi-acceptable backup. Jimmy Garoppolo, the first-round pick, Patrick Mahomes, and I forget who Pittsburgh's backup is. I think it's Landry Jones, right?
Sounds about right.
Okay. All three of those guys, if one of those guys has to play, go ahead and cancel them out of winning the AFC. Patrick Mahomes is not going to take – and Mahomes might be a great player for the Kansas City Chiefs, but Mahomes is not going to go in there for Alex Smith in an AFC title game and lead the Chiefs to victory in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Mahomes would be a good quarterback in 5 years.
Jimmy G, who might be a good quarterback now, with as bad as that Patriot defense and offensive line is and the way they're playing, if Jimmy G goes into the game against the Steelers, Patriots lose. And the same with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
I mean, this is just how the NFL works. Of course they're not going to win without Matt Cassel, or with Matt Cassel if Marcus is out. But the thing is Marcus is healthy, and Marcus looked pretty good from the pocket. And speaking of Marcus, we'll get to this in a second. John Gruden says something about not just now, but the future with Marcus. I want to get to that. It's Jared and the GM, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts, by the way. We'll take your thoughts on how Marcus played yesterday, because Floyd seems to be downright giddy about it. We'll take those, 615-737-1025. And the next segment, is really a message for the Marcus haters. We'll get to that. Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
Mariota after the pick to Henry. Steps into a deep throw, has a man open. Caught, Taywan Taylor, a touchdown for the Titans.
Stands in there, lets the route develop, gets hit right in the chest, and he delivers a beautiful strike to Taylor, who got off clean and ran an ultra-high corner, beat Hooker, the rookie free safety.
Ultra-high corner, Floyd, what do you know about that?
That's when, are you talking about the Taylor play?
Well, I'm talking about whatever Gruden said.
Yeah, he came down, got inside, pressed the safety, and then went back to the corner. And the true corner jumped. What they did was they ran the tight end over in front of him. The corner jumped up. So there's literally, you know, a third of a football field out there for us to throw the ball in.
I'll say this about Taywan Taylor catching that touchdown. I can't remember the last time I felt confident in the Titans throwing the ball deep. and he's the guy who can go catch the deep ball. Since Chris Sanders, I don't think they've had a guy out there that can go get the deep ball. Now, I do want to play what John Gruden said about Marcus and his future, because I agree with Gruden on this, but the Marcus haters were coming out early in that game, and I think they all went away in the second half or after the game was over. But we hear a lot of, I just don't know if Mariota's going to be the guy. I just don't know if I can trust him. I just don't know if I believe Marcus will be that kind of player. And this was Gruden at the end of the football game last night.
Mariota could be one of the future really great quarterbacks, I think. And I think this is going to help his game and his confidence in terms of getting it done exclusively in the pocket. What a performance in the fourth quarter after throwing a pick six.
I think Marcus is going to be a great player in this game. That's what John Gruden said. Floyd, I thought yesterday was just another example of why in two or three years, Marcus could be one of the top end quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, he also could fall short of that. He could be, but like right now, I don't think it's fair to judge Marcus on what he is right now. I say give it two or three more years, and then you will know what Marcus Mariota is. But to Gruden's point about Marcus becoming one of the better quarterbacks in the league, I think it's totally possible in the next couple of years that that happens. But the Marcus haters are all like, oh, no, he's not developed, and Jameis is better. And I'm just like, guys, you got to give Marcus two or three more years. But I think Marcus is on track, and I think last night proved it.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, he's doing what he should be doing, in my opinion, which is he's getting better and better. I mean, if you map his progress, you can say, okay, this we need to do this early. We got that done. We need to go to step two. We got that done. I think last night is a glimpse of him becoming a pocket passer. Now, it's going to be hard to take all the run out of his game. And to be honest, you probably don't want to take all the run out of the game because it can be a really, really lethal weapon. But I think when you look at Aaron Rodgers, or when you look at the guys that even Tom Brady, who can't move hardly at all, Tom will pull it down and run every once in a while and shock you. You know, now he'll only gain 5, 6, 7 yards, but still you're just not expecting him to do that. So I think for Marcus to have that ability and to keep that ability is going to be a blessing. I mean, that's something you'll really be able to count on. But you can look at him now and say, hey, this is the start of the next stage. Now we're going to develop as a pocket passer. We're going to get more accurate. We're going to get better reads on the defenses. We're going to get our receivers running the right route, all of those kinds of things that end up with a real, real solid passing.
I'm just telling you, I think Marcus can be a great quarterback. And I have always believed that. I question more the coach at times than I do the quarterback. But I like when Marcus threw that pick six yesterday, like that's going to happen. But the best part about Marcus throwing the pick six was 2 years ago, if Marcus threw a pick six, Marcus could not overcome throwing a pick six. But you've talked about when Brady and Ben throw pick sixes. Well, if Brady throws a pick six, he'll go get you two back so it'll make up for the pick six he threw. What did Marcus do yesterday after he threw the pick six? He made up for the pick six by going out and throwing more touchdowns. Like, I'm not convinced that Marcus is necessarily going to be the greatest quarterback that ever lived. But the way I believe Titan fans, because I was at a tailgate yesterday, somebody said to me, you know, somebody who was wearing a Marcus jersey said, you know, I just don't know if he's the guy. I'm just not sure. And I'm like, dude, he's in his third year in the league. What's tough for Titan fans is they've never really developed a franchise quarterback since they've moved here, because Steve McNair was a franchise quarterback, but he became the Titans quarterback in his fifth season when they had already moved from Houston to Memphis to Vanderbilt to fifth season in the Super Bowl. Marcus is in his third season. That's the point I'm trying to make here. And what we saw last night, and look, the Colts defense, that's the 30th ranked pass defense in the NFL. So, come on. But what he showed last night, I'm with Gruden. I think Marcus can be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in a couple of years. Well, I really, really believe that.
You mentioned one thing that was that we haven't discussed that I thought was really, really important, which was after the first half they'd had, which was the worst part of the game for the Titans.
Who do you mean by they? Out, the offense?
The offense and the defense. Yeah, our team, the Titans. First half, I didn't think was very good. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was not. There wasn't anything special.
Mm-hmm.
To start the third quarter with a pick six, which is what happened, and not get discouraged, I think was a tremendous sign of some of the maturity that we're seeing with this team across the board. Because it would have been real, real easy at that point in time to go, oh, we're done now. We have no chance.
That's how I felt.
We just had it. But they didn't do that. They didn't react that way. They went right back and actually, from that point on, played the best football of the night. They bet we were better running the ball. We were better blocking on offense. We were better throwing the ball. We were better catching. We were better on defense. We put more pressure on them. I mean, we were just better across the board.
When it got to 19-9, I thought, this game's slipping away. A winnable, must-have game. Is because I've seen this from the Titans for so many years, I could feel it slipping away, and I said to myself, and I tweeted this out, this is where the rubber's starting to meet the road with Mike and the fan base and people like me who believe in Mike, you know, where you're going up, you already lost a game you should have won last week against the Dolphins, now you're losing 19-9, everything looks terrible against the crummy Colts, and you're wondering if the season is that idea that you could be a better team this year, win the division, if that's starting to slip away in the beginning of October. And I started to feel that at 19-9.
Well, they,
and it didn't affect Marcus.
Yeah, thank goodness the team players didn't feel that. I mean, I was really proud of the way they came back. I mean, they showed a little character, a little dedication. I mean, they worked at it. And like I said, for whatever reason, it was almost like a light switch flipped on across the board. We ran the ball better. We played tougher.
Williamson knocked the ball away from
Norton. Yeah, offensive linemen got a little bit more nasty. I mean, there was a little edge to everything, and it made a world of difference.
Now, we'll take your call, 615-737-1025. And you heard what Gruden said about how he thinks, and he said it at the end of the game, Mariota can be a great quarterback. I stand behind Gruden's take. That's my take. I still think Marcus can be a great quarterback. I'm not saying he's for sure going to go to the big boy table in a couple of years. I'm just saying I still think he can do it. I think it's there. I think the path is there. Do you, if you're a Titan fan? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. Make your picks for our Pro Football Pick'em Contest. You have a chance to win awesome prizes, including a trip for two to Hawaii, brought to you by Computer and Communications Innovations in Nashville. To sign up, pick now at thegamenashville.com. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tennessee poised to take the lead. DeMarco Murray to the end zone. Touchdown, Titans.
That touchdown, I'm standing there in the stadium. I watch him go to the end zone and score the touchdown. And I told you, when it got 19-9, I kind of got like, oh, no. This is not going to. When they scored that touchdown with DeMarco Murray, I thought, they might actually win this game. They might actually finally beat the Colts. They never beat the Colts. Even though the Colts are terrible and they had Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, I had that feeling when it was 19-9 of, oh, this is going to be another one of those where we moan and groan about the Titans for 4 hours tomorrow. But apparently not, because Marcus and the Titans led him back. So we've been talking about Marcus, and we've been talking about John Gruden last night on the broadcast saying Marcus can be a great quarterback. I stand by that statement. I have always thought that since the first game he played, that Marcus could be a franchise quarterback one day. Well, I mean, he is the franchise quarterback now, but I'm talking about perhaps a big boy table quarterback. And you look around the league, like my belief that is that Marcus will be better than Andy Dalton when all is said and done. Marcus will be better than Matthew Stafford. Marcus will be a better quarterback than Cam Newton. All of those things. I know he's not there yet, But, Floyd, do you at least entertain the possibility, like Gruden said yesterday, that in a couple years Marcus could be one of the better passers in the league?
Well, I mean, Marcus is going to continue to improve. I mean, there are still questions about Marcus. Is he on the right path? I think he is. You know, is he there yet? No, he's not. But I think indicators, if you go through and you say, okay, what are the pluses with this young quarterback? And you compare him to, you know, Winston, let's say. I mean, I think there are things that I can look at Marcus and say, wow, I really like that a lot better than Winston. And I'm sure that if you ask them, Tampa Bay, they would say, hey, I really like these things about Winston. You know, I mean, he's going to be a great player for these reasons, whatever they may be. But I don't, you know, it's, you have to keep in mind this. How many great quarterbacks are there in the league?
Two, and one of them has a broken collarbone.
I mean, you go through and you say, okay, I've got a franchise quarterback. Well, the truth is,
like Matthew Stafford is a franchise quarterback,
yes,
who 5 years after he retires, we will barely even remember
him. Matt Stafford's a franchise quarterback. Matt Ryan's a franchise quarterback.
Cam
is a franchise quarterback. Now, do you think those guys are quarterbacks that can sit at the big boy table?
No.
Not yet. So, you know, you say, okay, will Marcus be better than Matt Ryan?
I think he will be better.
Yeah, I don't know yet.
I think in like 5 years, when you start to kind of see the quarterbacks change out around the league, I think the three guys that I feel really comfortable with right now, the young quarterbacks, are Marcus, Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and I've just always loved Watson. But Watson has a whole ways to go before Watson can even be in that discussion. But to me, I mean, Marcus and Carson Wentz are the two guys who I feel like have the potential right now to be big boy table quarterbacks. I don't think Jameis will ever be a big boy table quarterback. And the reason I say that is Jameis turns the football over too much. Jameis is he's not careful with the ball. And, you know, the other thing that yesterday showed that we haven't talked about with Marcus is you could tell the Titans had coached Marcus to not do anything yesterday. Do not run, Marcus. And he was able to take the coaching and apply it to the game. A lot of players can't do that. You tell them one thing throughout the week, don't run in this situation, and then it's third down and four, and Marcus thinks he can get five, and he goes, and now all of a sudden he's grabbing the back of his leg.
Right.
And we didn't see that with Marcus. So it tells you how coachable he is on top of that. So to me, I mean, Marcus and Carson Wentz, I feel, as far as young quarterbacks are concerned, are in a class of their own. Now, Goff, I think, is looking pretty good. Dak is looking pretty good. There's a lot of guys that are looking pretty good. But I think yesterday as a pocket passer showed you a lot about Marcus. Let's go to the phones. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. CH has been waiting patiently. He's up next. What's up, CH?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Yes. How much do we know that Marcus is in his third year, coming up on his contract? How much do you think he's worth?
Floyd, what do you think?
Worth?
Yes.
Contractually?
Thank you for the call, CH. Yes.
Yeah. See, this is what's hard.
They're all worth
quarterbacks.
They're all worth whatever the last guy made plus a little bit
more. And you know, you have to make the decision. You as a GM, let's say you see, I'm just going to throw out names here. You see that Tom Brady just got signed a contract for $30 million a year, and you've got Marcus, and you say, okay, can you compare him to Tom? No, you can't. Okay, so where does his value lie? And if you go to Marcus and say, you know what, he made 35, you're not in his league yet, so we're going to pay you 15. Well, now Marcus is insulted, and now he's mad. And now sometimes it's better to kind of slow play that till you get to the end. But the bottom line is, if you're going to keep that quarterback, you're going to pay him much, much more than he's worth.
Well, and the Redskins.
Hope that he works his, This is what the Redskins are going through.
And they've screwed it up because now they're going to owe Cousins $1 billion when they could have got him for way less two years ago.
And they say, okay, here we've got this guy Cousins, and Brady is making 35. Cousins, you're worth 20. Well, what they did was they told him that. Okay, we think you're worth 20. Well, I'm not going to sign that contract. I know I'm worth more than that. And the truth is, he was at that point in time. He probably would have been a deal at 25. Well, now they've gone through two franchise tags, and they know that they don't have a chance without him. And so, you know, they're going to end up paying whatever it is he wants.
The question you have to ask yourself with these quarterbacks are they good enough to win a Super Bowl? And I don't mean carry a team to the Super Bowl. Are they good enough to win a Super Bowl? Like, I've always thought Phillip Rivers is good enough to win a Super Bowl. Now, his teams have never been good enough for him to win the Super Bowl, but he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. Case in point, Flacco. Flacco, to me, is the baseline for as mediocre of a quarterback as you can be that can win a Super Bowl. And so, I wonder, in 3 years, will Marcus be able to win a Super Bowl? I think he will be. That's what people are like, right now, I'm just happy to beat the Colts. But that's what it all boils down to, is you're paying a guy $25 million to be your quarterback because you think he can win the Super Bowl. And in Detroit, they probably think, hey, if we get the right team around Matthew Stafford, we can win a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. I believe that if you get the right team around Marcus in 2 or 3 years, you will be able to win the Super Bowl with Marcus Mariota.
And the part, the really tough part about it, it's not if all of that happens, then you just say, fine, how much money you want? You know, you give him the money. But what if that doesn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
So then your decision becomes this. All right, I don't think he can win a Super Bowl for us. He can win a bunch of games, but he can't win a Super Bowl for us. Do you pay him like a Super Bowl caliber quarterback? And if you say, yes, I have to, then you're going to overpay him again. If you say, no, I'm not going to pay him that, then you're going to get rid of a quarterback that can win you double-digit games every year to bring in some rookie that you hope can get to a point that he can do that. The number of guys that can actually win you a Super Bowl is so small that you – it's really, really hard to compare, you know, to anybody else because, you know, if you look at the NFL now, you say you've got Brady and you've got Rodgers.
Well, you're saying quarterbacks that can win a Super Bowl. I mean, Big Ben can win a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan can win a Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan, I don't know if he can or not. Big Ben can.
Matt Ryan got your, I mean, as close as you can get. If the running back picks up the blitz on Dante Hightower, Matt Ryan's throwing a touchdown and the Falcons are Super Bowl champions.
Again, he hasn't done it. So can he do it?
Yes, Matt Ryan. Know. Matt Ryan is the only quarterback to ever lose in overtime in Super Bowl history. I mean, Matt Ryan can win a Super Bowl. That doesn't mean that he will, but I'm saying he can. Drew Brees can win a Super Bowl. Eli can win a Super Bowl. Flacco can win a Super Bowl. I mean, those guys can all win Super Bowls. I still think Marcus is going to be better than a lot of those guys. Marcus is going to be better than Cam. I'm just telling you right now. He is going to be a better quarterback, and when I say quarterback, I mean in terms of that position, he's going to be better than Cam. He is going to be on Cam. I mean, he's going to be better than Cam. I'm telling you. But we got all kinds of calls to get to. We'll go right to the calls coming up next, 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. Hey, join the Game Nashville to walk to end cancer. Visit us at thegamenashville.com and click the Light the Night or visit lightthenight.org/TN. Live performances on stage by Bravetown. Inspiring and uplifting lighting of the Lantern Ceremony Grand Finale Fireworks Display. To donate, text Cure Nashville to 91999 now. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, in some ways, this could be a defining moment for Marcus. He has to stand in the pocket and get it done, and he's getting it done. And if he can excel at an ultra-high level in the pocket like he has excelled outside the pocket, I like the Titans.
That was John Gruden yesterday on the broadcast. I promised right to the phones. Let's go right to him. Mike is up next here on Jared and the GM. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Jared, will you please promise not to yell at me? Because I am questioning for the first time that our John is not an awesome John. And let me tell you why. I mean, first of all, last night when I saw Sylvester Williams not even play, I don't even think he dressed, you know, but he was one of our free agent pickups. We just started talking amongst our friends about we basically had, when we did the trade 2 years ago, we had, what, 4 second-round picks. And then if you count the 2 first-rounders from this year and then the first-rounder from, you know, last year, that's 3 first-rounders, 4 second-rounders in a 2-year span. Okay, out of that, I totally understand the lack of production from Derrick Henry because of the DeMarco Murray. But out of those elite, what I consider would be elite picks, we're getting production from Jack Conklin. Some say he's even downgraded this year compared to last year. Limited production from Derrick Henry. You know, and then I see, like, Jamal Adams, who was considered elite coming out of this year's draft. And every SportsCenter highlight, they're saying how special he's going to be, and we could have had him. So am I wrong in thinking that when we have four second-round picks and 3 first-round picks over 2 years, that that's
3 second-round picks, but I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean, Mike. Mike, you think I'm going to yell at you, and I'm in total agreement with you, and I appreciate your call. I'm in total agreement. I think John Robinson's a good GM and knows what he's doing. But Floyd, his defensive line selections and pass rushing selections, and so they've been horrible. I mean, it's time to face facts. Sylvester Williams, they signed him. Boy, they pay him like $12 million. Guy's not even active. He stinks. So that's on John Robinson. Kevin Dodd, the first pick or the second pick of the second round 2 years ago, he's not even active. He stinks. That's on John Robinson. Austin Johnson was a second-round pick. I mean, he plays, but he doesn't really do anything. That's on John Robinson. I mean, I'm not saying John Robinson's not a good GM or anything like that, because we saw the talent from Corey Davis in that first game against the Raiders, and let's not leave out Adoree. I think Adoree is going to be great. And so Conklin, Adoree, those guys are doing well. Derrick Henry's doing well. We don't know about Davis because Davis has been hurt. But the other guys have been all defensive linemen, and they've all stunk. But I don't think you can get on John Robinson about Matthews, because he's been really good, and Jones, who's been really good. And, I mean, Taywan Taylor, who has been pretty good, and Jonnu Smith, who has been pretty good. I mean, it's just the defensive line guys. What's wrong with him and defensive line? It looks like John Robinson has no clue when it comes to defensive line.
Well, I mean, of those positions, the 2 inside guys are not going to be, you know, 10 sack guys. I mean, they are run stuffers. They are Vince Wilfork kind of guys.
Are they playing like Vince Wilfork?
Well, no, they aren't. But how many do? My point is, I think with a guy like Johnson, he could come in and he could have a great year and make 35 tackles, get a sack, and still play well for a defensive tackle. I think Sly Williams, we know what Sly Williams is. I mean, Sly came in to be a nose tackle. How many nose tackles do you know that throw up a bunch of numbers?
How many nose tackles do you know cannot even be active?
I mean, that, if you're changing the scheme, if you're going into a scheme like this one where you're going to be chasing the quarterback around, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying I can see why you wouldn't want a guy that is not a space player in a game like this. Now, if you're playing Pittsburgh, and you know they're going to be running and they're going to be pounding, then he's the kind of guy I think that you get in there. He's the kind of guy you want for that game.
What about
now,
Dodd?
I have no answer there. I mean, I don't know what it is. He's an outside guy. I told you when I went to camp, I didn't see any pass rush. I didn't see an explosion. I haven't seen, and he is one of those guys that, you have to look at. I mean, the only thing I can do there is I can take, you know, what they tell you, which is he's a year behind, and hope that's the truth.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know that, you know, I don't know that that is in fact, but I mean, that's all I know about it. I haven't seen anything from him.
Robert, up next on Mariota. Thank you for calling. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to you a few minutes ago. You were talking about Mariota being like one of the top quarterbacks and all. All I say is I wouldn't be, you know, saying that too soon because, after all, they did play the Colts last night. Andrew Luck wasn't playing. They got to play, too. They got to play Cleveland. So Mariota, you know, he got a chance to look good right now. All I'm saying, wait until they play a team that plays well before you start, you know, talking about that Mariota is all this and that and a quarterback, because to me, Mariota hadn't really been all that consistent in throwing the ball down the field.
Robert, I have a question for you. What did you think of the Titans' second half adjustments yesterday? Allowed 3 defensive points.
After third quarter, I didn't look at no more of that game because that defense was awful. Titans defense was awful.
They gave up 3 points.
I'm gonna say this too, Casey. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Jarrell Casey. Now they were talking about he was up against rookies out there, and he couldn't even get a sack. The guy ought to be, big as he is, he ought to be pounded, knocking people down.
Robert, I agree with you, actually, on Casey. What did you think of the coaching?
Malarkey? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Like I say all the time, I don't even know why that guy is even still here. I just don't see the Titans. I'm telling you, I don't see the Titans going too far with that guy.
Did you watch? I mean, I have 2 questions for you. One, are you a Titans fan, Robert?
No, I'm a Patriots fan.
Okay, because you don't like the coach and you don't like the quarterback. And secondly, you do know they won last night, right?
Yeah, but, you know, they were playing against the Colts.
I kind of agree with that. Oh,
yeah, you got, you know what? Everybody that's talking on the radio I've been listening to, they talking like the Titans have really played. I know they're professionals. Okay, all them professionals out there. And I'm not going to take that away from them. But they talking about a team that hadn't been playing well at all. Okay? This team was awful, downright awful.
Robert, I'm in actually full agreement with you on that, and I appreciate your call. I mean, to be completely frank, I totally agree with him. I mean, the Colts stink, but I just want to get his take on Mike. I would think that if you turn the game off in the third quarter, if you did turn the game off in the third quarter, I could see why you would have a very negative take about how the Titans played. But I feel like if you want to call the show, you should probably have watched the end of the game. Is that a fair thing to ask our callers? If you want to call today, you have to know how the game ended. Fair?
It sounds fair to me.
And obviously Robert didn't seem too high on their second half adjustments that allowed 3 points of the defense and allowed him to come back. We'll take more calls, 615-737-1025. But that caller did hit on something about the Titans. And I want to get to that next. And it is about how do we feel about this team now. It's Jared and the GM. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.